Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word. Please join us now as we hear a message from Pastor Toledo.
What I want to do up front is kind of remind us all of the two kind of framing thoughts for experiencing the word of God. And I mentioned when we first started that the first framing kind of dispositional thought in regards to experiencing the word of God is that you have to show up to be taught. And the first three messages in this series have all been about showing up to be taught. I mean, when you come to God, if you really want to receive from God, you need to be there to be taught. How many know God knows better than we do? Amen. And so every time we draw close to God, you got to show up to be taught. It doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter how much experience you have. Okay? Our experience compared to God's experience is zero because He's always been around. Always. Okay? He's not only infinite, He's eternal. And so that's the first thing. And then the second thing is you have to open up to be changed. And I'm going to now bring us to the actual text, Psalm 119, starting with verse 33. We'll talk a little bit about what we addressed on Tuesday. So it says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end." He's saying, teach me. In other words, become like a child. Then he says, "Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with all of my heart." In saying, God, I expect you to give me what I need so that I could obey and follow your word. And then thirdly, this is all the teaching, "Lead me in the path of your commands, for I delight in it." Lord, I'm ready to delight your plan. I'm ready to take your path, oh God, not my choice, but your choice. And so, God, I embrace the plan that you have for my life. Just show it to me, God. Lead me in that path. And then this past Tuesday, we focused on verse 36. "Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain." So when you open up to be taught, or I'm sorry, when you open up to be changed, that's when you start saying, God, incline my heart, or God, I want you to deal with the deep stuff. So this past Tuesday, we're talking about dealing with the deep stuff. When you start dealing with the heart, you start dealing with the deep stuff. And then today, it's turn my eyes from worthless things and give me life through your word. Now, everybody look up here, okay? Hopefully, everyone I'm talking to is alive, okay? So when he says, turn my eyes from worthless things and give me life through your word, obviously he's talking about a certain quality of life. He's talking about a certain brand of life. The New Testament calls it the abundant life. God doesn't just want you to be alive. How many know he wants us to experience the abundant life, the blessed life, the life that from the foundations of the earth he actually already planned out for us? There's a life that he has planned out for us. And then today we're focusing on a huge issue, one of the most challenging, one of the most difficult issues, really has to do with the eyes. Turn my eyes from worthless things and give me life through your word. So today the title of my message is step five, turn my eyes, or in other words, change my focus. Everyone say, change my focus. This is a big deal, okay? Because your life and my life are actually influenced in a huge way depending on what we're focusing on. Whatever you are focused on, that is what is impacting your life. Some people focus on their hurt and pain, and how do they live? They live as a person that is full of hurt and pain. Some people focus on their anger. Some people focus on the past. Whatever you're focused on, that really determines the quality of your life. And one of the most difficult things I can tell you after 25 years of ministry, one of the most difficult things that I have observed is some people, even though they want to serve God, even though you could actually give your heart to God, I'm going to prove it in a moment, you can give your heart to God, but if you don't allow God to change your focus, many times you just stay the same. It's an amazing thing, but it's true. And we started talking about this on Tuesday, that we come to places in life. We have moments, at times we have these moments of realization where we're like, you know what, I'm here, but in God, I should be over there. I'm here in my life, but really, in my life, I should be over there. But I recognize that there's this obstacle or there's that obstacle, and for some reason, I haven't been able to get over it. I haven't been able to get through this thing, and so we're held back. And many times it's because the obstacle is that we're focused on the wrong thing. And so David says, turn my eyes away from worthless things and give me life through the word. Now let's look at what eyes mean real quickly, okay? Eyes are the part of the body that is the gate to perception or of perception and understanding. Okay, it's the gate of perception and understanding. It means to focus, it means attention, it means perception, it means what you delight in. It means what your preferences are. And as we come today, what we're learning is that we have to come to God and say, God, turn my eyes away, okay, from things that I'm perceiving that are not good for me, that are not full of value according to your word. God, I might be focused on the wrong thing. I might be delighting in the wrong thing. I might prefer the wrong thing. You ever prefer the wrong thing? Let's have a moment of honesty. Anybody ever prefer the wrong thing? Absolutely. Absolutely. And what he's saying is, turn my eyes away from those things. Now, let me tell you why changing the focus is so important. I want to give you an example from the Bible. In the Bible, in Genesis chapter 13, it talks about Lot. Lot was Abraham's nephew, and Lot traveled with nephew. Abraham is known as the father of faith, okay? And Lot and Abraham came to a point where both of their families and their flocks got so big, they said, we need to separate. And so the moment of decision came. Okay? Everybody, please listen very carefully. I want you to watch this. Okay? Because when you leave here, you're going to make some decisions. You're going to make some choices. You're going to make choices based on what you see or what you're focused on or what your preferences are or what you delight in. So watch. This seems harmless. It says, Lot looked out and saw that the entire Jordan Valley was as far as Zoar, was well watered everywhere, like the Lord's garden and the land of Egypt. But check this out. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot had a moment of decision, okay? And Lot locked in on certain things that made sense to him. Here's why I'm going slow right now. Because what I want you to do is I want you to put yourself in Lot's shoes, because you are. You are. Okay? This is not just that story. This is all of our stories. Okay? So he looks and he doesn't really talk to God about it. He doesn't really look to what God preferred. He looked to what he preferred, okay? And then God, the place that he went to, look at what happens. The Bible talks in another place about Lot in 2 Peter, if you could put that up for me. It says, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man, okay? He was a righteous man, but he had to be rescued because of that decision, okay? It says, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented
in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. Okay, so how many would agree? The Bible says that Lot was righteous. Amen, he was righteous. Now, righteous is a big deal in the Bible because if you're not righteous, you're not saved. We are righteous by faith. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, okay, you become righteous. That's how you get saved. You become a Christian by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. You make him your Lord and your Savior. You invite him into your heart. And even though you didn't do anything to deserve forgiveness, how many know we can't earn our forgiveness? Jesus gave it to us because he loves us, because he's rich in mercy. How many would say amen? Hallelujah. There's only one criteria. There's only one issue that enables a man or a woman to be saved. It's that you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Okay? So now, here's the thing for us to understand. Righteousness equals saved. Okay? Let's read this top line here. Ready? Righteousness by faith equals saved. Okay? So you could be saved. You're going to heaven. Okay, just like Lot was a righteous man, he was going to heaven, but even though he's a righteous man, he didn't have a blessed life. So here's, before we get into this message, very important for all of us to understand, righteousness by faith equals saved. Righteousness by faith does not equal blessed by focus. Blessed by focus is a completely different thing. Your focus determines to a great deal how blessed you really are. Okay, righteousness with the right focus equals blessed. You see? And so God is not a respecter of persons. God does want to bless us. God does want to help us. But we have to be willing to have the Lord turn our eyes away from being focused and fixated on worthless things. And what I've been praying, thank you for that, amen. Got the amen button on the platform, on the pulpit here. I was too far away to hit that amen button. So, but see, here's what I'm praying, and here's what we've been praying all day. Okay, this we've been praying every week. We've been praying that you would today not just hear a sermon. What I'm praying is that the Holy Spirit, okay, that the Holy Spirit, while he's speaking to all of us, that he would speak to each and every one of us. Because what God tells me, Al Toledo, turn your eyes from that, that's worthless, it's not the same thing for you. But how many know the Holy Spirit knows exactly what we need to break with? He knows exactly what we're focusing on that is detrimental to us, that doesn't produce the life and the blessing that God wants to give. God wants to give us life according to his word. How many want life through the word of God? Amen? Hallelujah. And so I want to invite you to open your heart with me. Open your heart at this moment. Because if you draw near to God, if you get honest with God, if you get sincere with God, I'm telling you, God's going to meet you. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this day and this time. And Lord, you are amazing and you are wonderful and you are awesome. And we thank you that when you died and rose from the dead, you not only, God, secured our salvation, our place in heaven, but Lord, you opened up a way for us, oh God, to live the abundant life. Lord, to walk out your will, your good, pleasing, and perfect will. And God, that's what we want to get a hold of. That's what we're asking for. That's what I'm asking you for every heart, oh God, in this room. We pray, Lord, for that abundant life, for life through the word. So God, whatever you need to say, Lord, whatever you need to do, Lord, we say, God, we're open today. We open our hearts up to be changed. And we ask you, God, to turn us wherever we need to be turned. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. Amen and amen. Praise be to the living God. Amen. Now, as you look at this, as we all look at this passage, okay, there are a couple things that this is really saying to us. And the first thing that it's saying to us is that we need freedom from the wrong focus. We need freedom from the wrong focus. Turn my eyes from worthless things speaks to the fact that it is human nature. It's part of the fallen nature. It's part of history, okay, that we can get caught up with the wrong stuff. And the purpose of this, and I've been using this illustration over and over, but here's what this series is all about, guys. This series is about you and I experiencing God and the power of God. It's you and I experiencing God and the power of God by just, whether it be 5 minutes or 50 minutes, that when you go home and you open your Bible, you open your heart and you say, Lord, I need you to speak to me, God. Turn my eyes from worthless things, because God, in my own self, I just choose the wrong stuff. How many have found that it's easy to choose the wrong stuff? Yes, I've given this illustration many occasions. Theologians said this. You know, if we had a lion here, right, a hungry lion, and you put a bucket of oatmeal and a bucket of raw meat, which bucket do you think he'll choose? He's going to choose the raw meat. You know why? Because he's a carnivore, okay? Because that's, actually, he's an omnivore. Those brothers will eat anything. But the point is that it's his nature to want raw meat. Well, the truth of the matter is that without the grace of God, because we have a fallen nature, it's our nature to choose things that are worthless. It is what it is. And so we come to God every day, and when we come to God, we say, God, I need you to do a work of freedom in my heart, Lord. Don't let me get tripped up. Don't let me get deceived. Don't let me get caught up. Free me, oh God, from worthless things. What does worthless mean? Okay, put this right here. What does worthless mean? It means that which is futile, inconsequential. You know what inconsequential means? It means of no value, of no consequence. Have you ever had a day when you spent all of this energy into something, and after it was done, you were like, why did I do that? You know what that was? That was inconsequential. That was of absolutely no value. Anyone have one of those days? Okay. Sometimes that's happening in a much stronger and a deeper way than we even realize. It means unrestrained, without the restraint of God. It means something to be false, something that brings about destruction or is destructive. It means emptiness and vanity. There are all sorts of things that we can get focused on, but even though we're focused on that thing, and it might feel good to us in a moment, that focus is really worthless. That focus is really worthless. Here, let me give you another biblical example. Here's one of my heroes in the faith who had a really bad day. In fact, the Bible says this guy was a man after God's own heart. But watch. So he woke up one day. He was a king, King David, the guy who actually wrote this. King David woke up one day. All of this victory, all of this blessing, all of this great stuff is going on in his life. Chances are, most commentators believe it was time for kings to go to war. He should have been there, but he said, you know what? I'm not feeling so. You deserve a break today. Okay? He became into himself. Okay, sometimes the focus is self. And he was self-focused that day. He decided not to go, so he goes for a walk on the roof, and look at what happened. It says, from the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. And it was that moment of focus that brought all sorts of hurt, pain, destruction, and disaster to he and his family. Just because of the wrong focus that day. How many know we need God's help every single day of our lives? Can I get an amen? Was it really worth it, David? First of all, you have concubines and more than one wife. How many will do? You see, there's something that could be very evil and wicked about our focus. And we have to give that up to God. Here's another one, and then I want to make a point about this, okay? So Psalm 73, this was another man of God. He said, "But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. Why? For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." We've all been there. Come on, you're driving. I was telling a story earlier. Listen, I was driving in Long Island. I don't know how I made this turn, but in New York, I made a turn and I started to go through a neighborhood that I was like, oh snap, this is big time right here. You ever drive through a neighborhood and you go, oh snap, look at that house. Oh snap, look at that house. Wow, wow, wow. So I come around the corner. It's a true story. I come around the corner. And wait, before I get there. Come on, when you look at those houses, you go, come on, God. All right, that's all I'll say. Now let's keep going. So I'm driving, right? So while I'm driving, there's this long, tall fence, and I see it looked like it was almost a block or two away. I see this huge house. It looked like a castle, right? So I'm driving, and when I'm driving, I'm like, oh snap! I'm surprised I didn't crash into something. And I'm driving, and then out of like coincidence, the gate, I'm pulling up to the gate, and it was one of those electronic gates, and it starts to swing open. And it had like a thing on it, a crest or something like that. And you know, all right, I was nosy. I wanted to see who lives there. So the guy starts to pull out, and when he starts to pull out, lo and behold, it was Howard Stern, that radio jockey who majors on filth and garbage. And I was like, you can take that house. Right? Listen, the Bible says better to be in a house with vegetables, but there's peace, than a house full of feasting where there's nothing but evil and strife and wickedness. Yeah. Hallelujah! And you see, listen to me, it is a great day in our lives. It is a moment of freedom and a moment of blessing. It is an incredibly powerful moment when God delivers us from coveting what other people have and from comparing ourselves with what other people have. Okay? It's like, David, how many women do you need? Right? Why covet that one? Like, another one? You see, but it's human nature. We always want another one, okay? You get whatever you get new, you give it 2 months, and after 2 months, when you see the new model of the new thing that you just got, you're like, oh, snap, can I check that out? You know that's true. And Christmas is coming, so stop it right now. You know what? I just saw on the news the other day that there's this unique phenomenon happening now. And the phenomenon is that people are giving themselves selfie gifts. So they're like, okay, one for you, one, two for me. One gift for Uncle Pete, one, two for me. And they were saying the average person now, the average, it's like $160 or whatever, that people like, you know, I love to give. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And I'm going to go ahead and give myself something. They were just talking about that on the news. You see? But it is overwhelming to people who live comparing themselves to others. You're so miserable comparing yourself to this one or to that one. Okay, let me give you a piece of advice. Okay, throw out that People magazine. Okay, throw that out. Okay, because what's the point of it? Okay, what's the point looking at how the, quote, celebrities live? $1 million weddings, and in less than 2 years, they're gone. They're divorced. Okay, and kids are they're left in the wake and brokenhearted and all sorts of stuff. And not everything that glitters is gold, guys. Hallelujah. Give it all up. It doesn't mean anything. Inquiring people want to know. Don't inquire about that. Okay? Because that's not going to bring blessing. But let me tell you something. If you get dialed into what God has for you, if you get focused on the path that God has for your life, how many know when you walk that path, when you follow His will and His word, surely goodness and mercy will follow you. The blessing of the Lord will come down upon your life. But man, turn my eyes from worthless things. Some people can live their whole life even though they want to serve God. But some people can live their whole life, literally their whole life, fixated on something that happened in the past. Or fixated on something that's going on in this world. Okay? Don't let your life be controlled by what happened to you in the past. Don't let pain be the filter of your life. Don't focus on what was done to you. You could say, but that was done and I want justice. How about we do this by faith? The Bible says, vengeance belongs to me, says the Lord. Let God settle the account. You leave that behind and say, I'm going to get fixed on what God has for me, because even though that happened to me, that can't stop me, because you can't keep a good man or woman of God down. Even if we fall 6 times, we get up 7, and the blessing of the Lord is unfolding and waiting for us. But if you stay fixed on your pain, if you stay focused on the past, you won't get set free. Some people, they live angry, and they feel justified in their anger. They live with vice A or vice B or habit A or habit B. Of course you're not going to get set free from a habit if you keep focusing on it. How about developing a new habit? We've been wired to change. But the truth of the matter is, guys, is that we need grace from heaven. We need Him, His help. We need Him to free us from the wrong focus. And I want to pause here. We're going to move on and we're almost done. But listen, okay? If as I've been talking, if the Holy Spirit, because this is what we've been praying, if the Holy Spirit is bringing stuff up in your life, ask God to set you free from that. You may have a whole story around it, but let it go. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. When that happens, that's the beginning of freedom. Now here's the second thing. We're almost done here. The second thing is that not only do we need freedom from the wrong focus, we need grace for the right focus. Because notice what he says. He not only says, turn my eyes from worthless things, but let's read this together. Ready? Give me life through your word. Give me life through your word. Remember, that's the abundant life. That's the best life that is offered to any human being on the planet. It's the life that God offers us. And so we not only have to cut loose, we need freedom from, now we got to lock in on the life that God has, but that life comes through the Word. Hence, these moments with the Lord, guys, these moments with the Lord, just you and God, big, big deal. Because this is how you tap into the life that God has through His Word. I want to tell you a tale of two focuses real quick. Just happened this week. And then we'll be just about done. So this week I had a meeting and I walked the person I had the meeting with, this person, and we walked to the parking lot. And as I was saying goodbye, there was a woman's ministry event here, and Friday. And so a woman came up to me who I met here in the church 1 month ago. And the day that I met her, she was crying. By the way, she gave me permission to say this. She was crying. She was brokenhearted, basically on the verge of divorce. She was wounded because close to 30 years ago, they lost a child, and the loss of that child brought incredible hurt and pain. That's really, really painful, difficult situation. And she was so down, so discouraged. I didn't have a lot of time. I was actually between services. I talked to her for a few moments, prayed with her. But one of the sisters, Mary Toyama, I asked her to come along and help. And then Mary took her and has been ministering to her. But anyway, I meet her over here 30 days later, basically. And she's like glowing. She's glowing. She goes, Pastor Toledo, I got to tell you, my life has changed. She's like, I feel so different. And you know what? I didn't want to be next to my husband. You know, I just didn't even want to be near him. And you know what? I'm in love with him now. She said, I can't believe how everything has changed. And you know what she said to me? She said, it's right. You're right. We spend 10 times, 20 times, 30 times a day. We're checking Facebook. I stopped checking Facebook. I started to read the Word. I have read the Bible every day and prayed every day since we met. And my heart is completely changed. Hallelujah. And she said to me, you see, I was focused on what my husband has done wrong. And while I was there in the presence reading the Word, God began to say to me, why are you focused on him? What about what you've done wrong? And what about the fact that I've forgiven you? Haven't I been good to you? Haven't I forgiven you and been merciful to you? And she's like, yes, Lord. He said, well, why don't you show them? They don't even know you. Know me like you know me. And she was like, you're right, Lord. And right there, that worthless blame and unforgiveness, and this is what I'm praying for someone right now. You realize that blame and unforgiveness and anger, it's really worthless to you. Won't help you. And so she turned and she said, I give that up. And she just started to take in the Word of God and take in the Word of God and take in the Word of God. And she was just glowing and overflowing. She said, one of my friends said to me, you went to church one time and all that happened to you? It wasn't the church. It wasn't the church, guys. Okay, church is good. This is important. Receiving the Word is important. But nothing will ever substitute those 5 minutes or those 50 minutes when you get before the King of Glory and say, turn my eyes from worthless things. Don't let me get deceived today. Don't let me get caught up with nonsense, Lord. God, I pray that you would give me life through your Word. Nothing will substitute that. And she was just overflowing with the goodness of God. Right behind her, there was a sister standing there. And she said to me, must be testimony day, Pastor. And here's what she said to me. She said, so you've actually mentioned me in a sermon once. And you heard a testimony about years ago you preached on giving. You know what? We went home. We talked about it. We said, we're going to give. So I gave, and she and her husband gave. And then I forget exactly, but less than like 24 hours or 48 hours, the Lord not only gave them back, but gave them more, something to that effect of what they gave to the Lord. And they just started to trust God and believe God. So she said basically, so here's the next chapter. The next chapter has been a year. We've given to building fund. We've been tithing. We've been supporting the kingdom by faith. And say, in one year, all of our credit card debt is gone. $16,000 of credit card debt is gone, gone, gone. And the Lord has done it all for us. Hallelujah. You know why? You know why? Because someone said, oh, Lord, this is what you say in your Word? You know? Well, I won't buy that giant TV. I'm going to do what God says. You know, by the way, God's not against giant TVs. Well, maybe. Maybe in Leviticus it talks about those giant TVs. No. You know what I'm saying? It's not, God has no problem with you being blessed materially. See? But if you make an idol out of your money or the things that your money can get you, it's worthless. It's worthless. Now, here's, I said, tale of two focuses. Here's the other side. So, and I'm not exaggerating, I walked out of there, I went into my office, and then I received a communication from someone. And here's what the note was, basically. The note was, I'm going through this, I feel this way, I feel that way, which broke my heart, you know, for the person. But here's how they ended the note. Okay, the way they ended the note, this way they said, and by the way, no, I haven't been reading my Bible. You know why they said that? Because they knew I would ask them. You know? And of course, I could talk to somebody for 12 hours a day. Okay? That's not going to change them. But how many know the word of God? You shall know the truth, and the truth will what? The truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. And so part of what we're going to pray for in the next few moments is we're going to pray that God would lead us to life through the word. In another place, look at how David put it. The singers could get ready. Look at how David put it. David said, I will be careful to lead a blameless life. When will you come to me? Okay, so watch this. God, I'm going to do this, but God, come, because I need you to help me do this. Get it? I will be careful to lead a blameless life. When will you come to me? I will walk in my house with blameless heart. Watch this. I will set before my eyes, everyone, no vile thing. No vile thing. There it is. He understood. Lord, I need to focus on the right thing. I need to focus on the right thing. And that focus, that refocusing happens when the Lord draws near, because we draw near to him. So many people underestimate. So many people want the miracle of transformation, but they underestimate the opportunity of transformation. Okay, how many know every time you open the word of God, how many know that is the opportunity for great transformation? How many want transformation in your life? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Let's put our hands together. That's what we want. That's what we want. That's what we want, God. We want transformation. And so this passage, last thing this passage is teaching us is that the right focus leads to a blessed life. Okay? The right focus leads to the blessed life. If you want a blessed life, get the right focus. Okay? It's not in that new thing that the infomercial is offering you. Okay? It's the right focus. Focus on God. Meet him at his word. Meet him in his word. It says the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. Plain and simple. So I want to pray today. They're playing a great song. The song says, God, I look to you. You put the words up for me? If you guys could find that. Listen, God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. Let's read this together. Ready? God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. That's what we're asking God to do. Turn my eyes away from worthless things and give me life through your word. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God, I look to you. I won't be old. Come on, everyone, lift your hands. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Come on, let's look to him, everyone. Reach out with your heart as we sing this song to him. God, I look to you. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. Things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do.
Now keep your eyes closed. Stay in the spirit. But listen, we've been doing this all day, and I want to do it right now. I want to open up this altar today. There's no way I want you to miss the opportunity to bring your heart to God today. And maybe you're here and you need some help from heaven because you know you've been focused on some things, and you know God is saying, I want to break that focus. I want to break that focus. How do you break the focus? You go to God. You take God at his word. You bring the word of God to God and you say, God, do what you said in your word. Do that in my heart. In the here and the now, I'm drawing near to you, God. Draw near to me, God. And God, I pray I need freedom from that, God. Break my obsession. Break my obsession with that relationship. Break my obsession with money. Break my obsession with fear. Oh, God, with pleasure. Whatever it is, God, I need you to break that thing, God. I need you to break it. I'm coming to you because, Lord, you still set the captive free, God. And I'm asking you to do that for me. Or maybe you're here and you recognize that maybe you're not focused on the wrong thing, but you're certainly not focused on the right thing. Father, we thank you today because we know we've received from you, God. We thank you because we know that you've began a good work in our hearts, oh God. And God, we pray right now to the left and to the right, God. We pray that every unholy tie, every unholy focus, God, every worthless focus, God, may they be broken in the name of Jesus, oh God. Break it, God. We claim freedom, freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom for every man, freedom for every woman. No matter what it is, nothing is too hard for you. Break our focus from unworthy things. And that, God, we pray now to the left and to the right. Lord, we're praying for the abundant life, the full life, the blessed life. Oh, God, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Come on, pray right now, God. Give the life that comes through the word of God. Begin that work of life. God, before anyone goes, God, we thank you. You are doing a work of life. Begin that work of life. Begin that work of life. And God, I ask that you would fill us with your word, oh God. Make us like walking Bibles, we pray. Father, we ask that you would change our schedules so that we would make time to get full of the word of God. We ask that you would change our priorities, God, so that we could get full of the word of God. We ask, oh God, that you would replace an old focus with a new focus, and that new focus would be totally on your word and on your truth, oh God, on your face, Lord Jesus. So bless everyone, Lord, as they go, Lord.
And God, may this incredible, oh God, invitation, Lord, be received, oh God, and accepted by every person here. God, this invitation to be changed and to receive the abundant life. We thank you and we praise you for all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, come on, let's give God a hand.